Let's read together 1 Chronicles chapters 7, 8, and 9. These three chapters conclude the genealogical section of 1 Chronicles. In chapter 10, we will have the record of the death of King Saul to pave the way for the dynasty of David. Now, obviously, we're not going to read all 124 verses of these chapters, but we'll touch down in a number of places. Chapter 7 contains the genealogical records of six more of the tribes of Israel. These six tribes were all from the northern kingdom of Israel. In verses 1 through 5, we have the record of the descendants of Issachar. Verse 1, the sons of Issachar were Tola, Pua, Jashub, and Shimron, four in all. We see in verse 5 that at the time of David, the tribe of Issachar provided 87,000 mighty men of valor for David's army. Verse 5, now their brethren among all the families of Issachar were mighty men of valor, listed by their genealogies, 87,000 in all. From verse 6 down to verse 12, we have the genealogical records for the tribe of Benjamin. We'll see more of these records in chapter 8. In verse 13, we have the sons of Naphtali. Now in verses 14 through 19, we have the descendants of Manasseh. That is the half-tribe of Manasseh on the west side of the Jordan River. Remember Zelophehad and his daughters of verse 15? In Numbers chapter 27 and 36, Zelophehad's daughters, who had no brothers, were told that they would inherit their father's property as long as they married within the tribe. I'm reading from Numbers chapter 27, beginning with verse 6. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak what is right. You shall surely give them a possession of inheritance among their father's brothers and cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. From Numbers chapter 27, verses 6 through 8. And then in Numbers chapter 36, beginning with verse 6, this is what the Lord commands concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, let them marry whom they think best, but they may marry only within the family of their father's tribe. So the inheritance of the children of Israel shall not change hands from tribe to tribe. Thus no inheritance shall change hands from one tribe to another, but every tribe of the children of Israel shall keep its own inheritance. Just as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. From Numbers chapter 36, verses 6 through 10. In verses 20 through 29, we have the genealogical records of the tribe of Ephraim. Here we have the lineage of Joshua, as we see in verse 27, Joshua the son of Nun. In verses 28 and 29, we have some towns listed for both Ephraim and the half-tribe of Manasseh, since they were both sons of Joseph. Verse 29. And by the borders of the children of Manasseh were Bethshean and its towns, Taanak and its towns, Megiddo and its towns, Dor and its towns. In these dwelt the children of Joseph, the son of Israel. Verse 30 through the end of the chapter covers the descendants of the tribe of Asher. Again, we see that when these records were originally prepared, it included a military purpose. Verse 40, all these were the children of Asher, heads of their fathers' houses, choice men, mighty men of valor, chief leaders, and they were recorded by genealogies among the army fit for battle. Their number was 26,000. In chapter 8, we have more genealogical material for the tribe of Benjamin, besides what we had in chapter 7. The reason for this is fourfold. Number one, the tribe of Benjamin was important because King Saul, the first king of Israel, came from the tribe of Benjamin. Number two, the tribe of Benjamin supported the Davidic dynasty. Number three, the tribe of Benjamin became an essential part of the southern kingdom of Judah. And number four, Jerusalem and the temple of the Lord were located within the boundaries of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 1 of chapter 9 is a summary statement of the genealogies of all Israel before the time of the captivity. 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1. So all Israel was recorded by genealogies, and indeed they were inscribed in the book of the kings of Israel. But Judah was carried away to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness. The book of the Kings of Israel mentioned here is not the first and second kings of the Bible, but official royal court records that are no longer extant. Now from verse 2 and following, we have the mention of those who came back to the land after the 70-year captivity in Babylon. Verses 2 and 3. And the first inhabitants who dwelt in their possessions in their cities were Israelites, priests, Levites, and Nethinim, or temple servants. Now in Jerusalem the children of Judah dwelt, and some of the children of Benjamin, and of the children of Ephraim and Manasseh. In verses 4 through 9, some specific names from these tribes are given. In verses 10 through 13, we have the names of the priestly families who returned from the captivity. And in verses 14 through 16, we have seven families of Levites who returned from Babylon and lived in Jerusalem. In verses 17 through 27, we have other Levites mentioned who had the special job of guarding the gates to the temple area, verse 22 and following. All those chosen as gatekeepers were 212. They were recorded by their genealogy in their villages. David and Samuel, the seer, had appointed them to their trusted office. So they and their children were in charge of the gates of the house of the Lord, the house of the tabernacle, by assignment. The gatekeepers were assigned to the four directions, the east, west, north, and south. And their brethren in their villages had to come with them from time to time for 7 days. For in this trusted office were four chief gatekeepers. They were Levites, and they had charge over the chambers and treasuries of the house of God. And they lodged all around the house of God because they had the responsibility, and they were in charge of opening it every morning. Guarding all the gates in the temple area was very important, because this was God's holy place, and intruders must be kept out. In verses 28 through 34, we see that some of the Levites who returned had other specific jobs in the temple service. And in verses 35 through 44, we again have the genealogy of King Saul that we had in chapter 8. The reason for this repetition is to lay the groundwork for chapter 10, where we will have the death of Saul so that the kingdom can be turned over to David. Now, just one more background note before we move to our doctrinal points. When you compare the genealogical records here in the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles with the genealogical records in other scriptures covering the same time period, you will notice some slight differences. These are to be explained by the facts that some genealogies are selective and move from father to grandson or even great-grandson. Also, some names may be omitted in some lists because they died young and childless. In other cases, some men had more than one name, and in some cases, there are spelling changes. So for these reasons, you will notice some slight differences between the genealogical material that we have in 1 Chronicles 1 through 9 with the genealogical material that we have in other scriptures covering the same time period. Now that's a lot of background and only leaves time for 2 brief doctrinal points. So doctrinal point number 1, the genealogical records establish the right of Israel as a nation under God. The genealogical records establish the right of Israel as a nation under God. You know, throughout Israel's history, down to this present day, there have been nations that say Israel does not have a right to exist. Well, listen, who gives any nation the right to exist? Answer, God does. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, we read, "And God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. And God has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." Acts 17, 26. In these genealogical records of 1 Chronicles chapters 1 through 9, we see God's establishment of the nation of Israel in human history. The genealogical records go all the way back to Adam. And notice what we read in chapter 1, verse 34. "And Abraham begot Isaac, The sons of Isaac were Esau and Israel. Not Esau and Jacob, but Esau and Israel. How dare any nation say that Israel does not have the right to exist as a nation? If any nation has the right to exist, Israel does. The genealogical records establish the right of Israel as a nation under God. Doctrine point number two. The genealogical records prove the faith of Israel as the people of God. The genealogical records prove the faith of Israel as the people of God. Question. Why did the Jewish people keep all of these genealogical records, even when they were captives in Babylon? After all, they had been conquered as a nation. Their temple had been completely destroyed. They knew they were in Babylon because of their sins. Why not just forget about continuing to keep the genealogical records? Why not even throw them out? Answer, because of the continuing faith of God's chosen people. In spite of their terrible sins and resulting captivity in Babylon, the Jewish people believed that God would bring them back. They believed the prophecies of promise predicting their return. They did not throw out the writings of the prophets, even though the prophets denounced them for their many sins. And the people meticulously kept these genealogical records because they believed what God said about them as a nation. The genealogical records prove the faith of Israel as the people of God. Now, what about practical application from these chapters, 1 Chronicles 7, 8, and 9? Do your assigned work well. Do your assigned work well. We saw in verses 28 through 34 of chapter 9 that some of the Levites who returned from captivity had specific jobs. Let's read from these verses beginning with verse 28. Now some of the Levites were in charge of the serving vessels, for they brought them in and took them out by count. Some of them were appointed over the furnishings and over all the implements of the sanctuary, and over the fine flour and the wine and the oil and the increase and the spices. And some of the sons of the priests made the ointment of the spices. Mattathiah of the Levites, the firstborn of Shallum, the Korahite, had the trusted office over the things that were baked in the pans. And some of their brethren of the sons of the Kohathites were in charge of preparing the showbread for every Sabbath. These are the singers, heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites, who lodged in the chambers and were free from other duties, for they were employed in that work day and night. These heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites were heads throughout their generations. They dwelt at Jerusalem. These Levites had specific assignments and did them well, even though many of the jobs were behind the scenes and not as glamorous as the singers, for example. Do you see the practical application? We all have jobs and assignments in the home and in the church. Not all jobs are glamorous, and many go unnoticed, but all are important, and God takes notice. So do your assigned work well.